Well, we now come to a particular lesson, part of the God-ordained way fellowship. It is on the so-called vital groups. Now, this is a very difficult subject because it has been interpreted and reinterpreted and re-reinterpreted all over the globe, so that today I really don't know what a vital group is anymore. Even though I was there in the live trainings, except for the first book. You know, the first book is called The Urgent Fellowship. I was not there in person. I was eavesdropping because I was not qualified. It was just for the church in Anaheim. But the next two books on the vital group, I was there live. So, but Brother Lee was speaking, but I cannot say that I or so many others really picked up on what he said adequately. And so a very rather shameful story is that towards the very end, after actually from 93 all the way to 96, 3 years of intermittent trainings, he gave up. Brother Lee gave up, pretty much. He said, this is Southern California, so I do not say this to others. This is Southern California. He said, if you're not doing what I'm telling you to do, then I will not speak on this matter anymore. And starting with the end of 1996, the year before he died, actually 6 months before he died, he stopped speaking on the vital group. That's it. He spoke on the subject no more. And it's a shameful thing to us in Southern California. And this is why, standing here myself, I cannot get rid of that sense of obligation to our brother in the outworking of what he labored on in the last 3 years of his life. And I cannot say that I have the way to do that. But this time being in Northern California, coming up here, joining you all in the Lord's advance and move, I do have that kind of feeling that is it possible that Northern California can pick up where Southern California left off? Is it possible that Northern California can succeed where Southern California failed? I don't know. But I like to open the matter up in this way for your consideration, for your prayer. Now, I told you that I deliberately did not use the word vital group in my recent fellowship. I used two or three, right? The reason for that is I don't want to, out of the gate, you know, just bring you using this term, and right away you have certain already concepts about that, what that is. Different, probably, from brother to brother. And I certainly don't want you, any of you, to, because of certain less than successful experience or some frustrating experience on this matter, on the practice of this matter, to just shut it off, just like it doesn't work. It didn't work with us. It's a good idea, but don't think it will work. Why do we need to do this when we have our Friday night group already? What's the difference? You know, the vital group speaks of what? Speaks of the condition. Vital. It doesn't talk about size. It talks about condition. So I usually would say it this way. This is again only my interpretation. That you have three words that Brother Lee have used concerning groupings over the years, starting from the 80s until through the 90s. And that is, number one, he started with home groups. Home groups. He spoke a lot about that, you remember, in Irving, Texas. This is in the 84-85 era. And in Taiwan, he used the word small groups. 小牌, small group. Home, when I say home group, you know, he used the word home meetings, right? He used the home meetings. And then later on, a vital group. So I thought about that. So you have three things here. Number one, home. That basically describes the place, the venue. Small group, that describes the size. The size is not big, it's small. And vital group describes the condition. And I just start asking myself, can Brother Lee be talking about the same thing here in three different aspects? Now, I still cannot tell you affirmatively I have the answer. I cannot say that. But more and more I'm quite convinced that that's the case. That's the case. And so our group, our grouping, should be mainly home-based, if I can use that word. And it should be small. I mentioned that already. And it should be vital. And it should be vital. Then you say, well, why did Brother Lee start this vital group, like even he says, your small group is wrong. You know how much he said that to us in Southern California? Your group is old, it's dead, it's formal, it's not what I said it should be. So we were all saying, we built up a wrong building, you know? And he didn't say, don't demolish it, leave it there. But I'm going to start the vital group. And say, oh, brotherly, another new thing. What is this thing here? And so already at that time, we were already a bit group fatigued, you know. And then the vital group comes along, and goodness, I think a lot of things just fall on on brick heads, you know. It just did not penetrate. After Brother Lee passed away, I don't know any of you knew, I actually put together a workshop called Vital Group Workshop. I did, with outlines and even fill in the blanks things, you know, like a workshop thing. I even did that. I conducted workshop in Southern California based on all the principles. But sorry, it didn't take. Now, is anything wrong with brotherly speaking? No, of course not. What's wrong? What's wrong is our, for many reasons, our shortage in studying and in experimenting or practicing this matter of the vital group. Now, having said that, I will tell you, vital group, as Brother Lee spoke about, did take, in many instances, when I say failure, I don't mean like nothing worked. There are many saints here and there that have practiced the vital group principles with commendable results. Really, even today I still hear, when some saint talk to me, I say, that's a vital group. They have not even read the book, but they're doing it. Then, Jim, you and I were talking. We were practicing vital group all day long in Eldon Hall. No joke. No joke in those early days. We were vital, that's for sure. Much vital than today. We were home-based. We were like just the homes, big time. And we were a lot of small groupings and this and that. Without the term, we were practicing it. And a lot of times, brothers, you know the problem is when the term comes, we get like this. You know what I mean? Is this A, one, small one? Am I doing that? It's the centipede who is thinking, which leg do I move first? And get stuck, you know? You've got 100 legs, which one starts? And so when someone posed the question to the centipede got stuck all night long, trying to figure out which leg should I move first, and couldn't figure out because there's 100 options, and he was stuck there without moving a bit. When the morning comes, he was totally tired by figuring this out. The sun rose between the leaves, the dew were glistening there. For a moment, he forgot his legs, and he moved. How's that for a little parable? A lot of things in our life, and in our spiritual life, and in our practice, is like that. The more principles and points you get, the more you are like this. You're paralyzed, you don't know what to do. And you check everything with points. But when you forgot that, you're with the Lord, you're vital, you're natural, all the principles are there. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying brotherly trainings are not necessary. I'm not saying No. I tell you, the burden was so strong with Brother Lee. But even Brother Lee will tell you this. He said, I gave you this big driver's manual, but when I put the steering wheel in your hands, you don't just flip the manual and drive the car. You keep your eyes on the road. You drive according to the condition. Not according to the manual. You need the manual to pass the test at DMV. That you need to do. But when you drive, you don't read the book. You just, when there's a pothole, you better swerve. When there's a pedestrian, you better swerve. You know what I mean? You drive according to the condition, and that's how you learn to actually drive. So, brothers, I hope this time, this is my third try in Vital Group up here. And I know you all have also gotten trainings in Vital Groups. And my version and your version are likely different. So that's the reason why I didn't use the word Vital Group. I used two or three, which is in the principle of the Vital Group. So here it is, brothers. In this context, with all this history and all of this, I would like to suggest that for now, none of us get bothered of what is a Friday in a home group, is it a vital group, and some saints, when they say vital group, they mean their small group, and some dare not call their small group vital group because their conscience would not allow them to say it's vital. All kinds of situations. So I would say, brothers, let's not go there. Just, we need to work on the small group. We definitely need to work on, because it has fallen into a kind of a routine, a tradition. It is not that, living and not so on and so forth. But we also, I would say at the same time, must build up the twos or threes. According to the vital group principles, according to those principles, the twos or threes. But I would like to say, even the twos or threes, please don't turn my speaking of twos or threes into another doctrine, into another what? Method, into another kind of a, you know what I mean, technique. You must drive the car yourself. And your church, your situation, but you follow certain principles. And I think the principles two and three are fairly convincing. And That is, within your small group, there should be multiple twos or threes. Within your small group, multiples twos or threes. And by the way, let me say one more thing about your small group. I mentioned earlier that don't look at your small group as a static thing. Your group is dynamic. It is always changing, moving, location, size, people. So don't straitjacket it. Don't put it in a box. It is a living, breathing family, okay? Look at your group in that way. Now, along that line, I would like to suggest we practice this. Every year, do an evaluation of your group. The fact that this group had these people doesn't mean 4 years later, 10 years later, it's still the same people with the same group. No, no. New ones are being added. And the people in that group have different needs. Some have to move to another group because they moved to got another house somewhere. Do you see? Their life station changed. Before they were single, now they got married and they live across the town. They don't need to be stuck in your group forever. You have no claim on them. They need to go and start another group. You see, I suggest we have a healthy practice every year. Evaluate your group again. And everyone open. Should I still be in this group? Should I move on? Should this one be added? So every year you have a new group. Isn't that wonderful? Rather than the same group 10 years later, except with the color of the hair changing. No. That's not how it should be. I'm not advocating change for change's sake. But I tell you, it is a living, breathing thing. Your group is living and breathing. All right? It's an organism. Don't treat it as a static group or team or something like that. Even at your work, your team changes. Am I right? So we should be very flexible and not hold on to my group as my little territory, my kingdom. These are my flock, you know? No one can take them away from me. No, you should not do that. These groupings exist to serve the saints. These groups exist to raise a family. These groups exist to gain people. So don't hold on to these things. And don't make them just something, just that meeting, as if it's everything. Okay, enough of that. Now, in a way of being in the Spirit, in a way of being flexible, in a way of having discernment and perception of your locality or your situation, practice the twos or threes. Okay? Because the small group, even with five, six people, is not the most flexible. Two people are really flexible. They can go anywhere, meet anywhere, anytime. I told the story about this small little vital group with four people. You say, it's not two or three. They're wrong. They should be two or three. How can they be four? Brothers, you see the point? Okay. With four saints, two couples in Lubbock, Texas. And they have everyone's busy, no time to meet. They can only meet on Monday night at 10:30. Very late. They meet to pray in the principle of the vital group, and they meet together with the sole purpose of gaining increase, which are the students from Texas Tech. And I tell you, they gave the testimony, they are just flourishing, gaining people. And that thing is growing. And now what will that become? That will become bigger than two or three. That will become five or six. Then is that the small group, the vital group morph into small groups and how they multiply? Brothers, I tell you, this is a living organism. Anything can happen. They multiply, they move around, some saints are this year in this group, next year they go to the other group in a proper way, and 2 years later they return to the same group. Brothers, don't be bothered by these things. Don't be so, you know. It's a living organism. It's living, all right? Under certain principles. The two or three is still the way. It's the smallest, most flexible, most mobile, most intimate number for us to operate, to gain people, to visit people, and all of this. And this is where vital group starts, with two or three. Forming and practicing vital groups to carry out the four steps of the God-ordained way. One, our intention in forming the new groups is to have groups of overcomers. This is the reason that the groups are called vital groups. Now, even your concept of overcomers need to change. Most of our concept of overcomers are still super believers. These are the super successful saints. No, I'll tell you what overcomers. Overcomers are normal Christians, according to God's standard. And I hope this thought of overcomers would not beget or generate any kind of thought of exclusivity, any thought of elitism. No, no. Don't say we are the overcomers of this church. They are not. Never say this. Only the Lord knows whether you are an overcomer or not. So don't let this become something that categorizes the saints. You just seek to live an overcoming life, and you gather with like-minded brothers and sisters for the Lord's need and increase. That's all. That's good enough. You don't look down on anyone. People who are not practicing this, you don't judge them. They're still dear brothers and sisters. This should be our heart, especially a leading brother's heart. A, we do not have some groups. We do have some groups already, and we honor them. I mentioned this already, but there's still the need for some vital groups to fulfill the purpose of the groups and to discharge the burden. He meant the current older small groups. That's what we still honor that. But we need some to be active and vital to discharge the burden of increase. B, the groups that are up to the standard should be up to the normal level revealed in the Bible, having a purpose, nature, and a condition. I think you all know these things. You must have covered these things. The purpose of the vital group is to increase. Never forget that. Increase. That's the burden. Perfecting and building up of the body of Christ. The vital groups are to gain the increase, finish the perfecting, and complete the building. The nature of the vital groups is spiritual. To be spiritual means to be filled with the Holy Spirit within and without. That's the nature. It's spiritual, with much spirit. This is very important. That's why we need prayer. That's why this vital group is mainly doing a lot of prayer. It fills them with the Spirit. Number three, the condition of the vital group is that of loving one another in oneness and one accord. We need to love one another, meeting together in a mutual love. Love is manifested in care. You say you love, but you don't care. That's only loving with your lips, loving with your words. When I love my brother, it means I care for them, care for their needs. So the two or three should have that kind of a, not honey love, but that kind of a love in Christ that is also very practical. The Lord says what? The world will believe if you love one another. There's a sign. There's a sign. A convincing sign. To be vital means to be living and active. In forming the vital groups, the first thing that we need is to be vital. Living, that's intrinsic. Active, extrinsic. Living in inward. Active, outward. Living, as far as life is concerned. Active, as far as action or activities are concerned. This word, vital, straddles both. It is only possible to be vitalized if you yourself are pressed by the Lord to pursue Him desperately in this matter. We have to look to the Lord's mercy and grace desperately to get ourselves vitalized and to help others be vitalized. Do you remember my, 13 twos or threes? This, right? Yeah, after this meeting is 13. No, last meeting. I added number 13. Do you remember those points? Okay, tell me. Number one, every morning, call on the Lord deeply two or three times. Number two, I don't want to use the word pray read because, again, you can get into a mode. Eat. Nourish yourself with two or three what? Verses or phrases or words. Some of my best morning revival time is with two or three words. That's all I needed. I ate it. I chew it. I get plentifully nourished. It's not a time to read a book. It's not the time to study the truth. It's the time to touch the Lord and eat Him. What else? What else? Huh? Pray two or three times a day. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So we are cheating a little bit here. Two or three times a day. Of course, what we mean, we are always breathing, calling on the Lord during the day. That's without ceasing. But I'm saying some particular time, little longer time, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You take a break from all the things and you touch the Lord. You contact the Lord. That is a healthy practice. Okay, in the car, when you cannot read anything, you're not supposed to text, am I right? But in the car, you can pray. Amen. You can drive and pray to the Lord, and that's a long time. You're on BART, you're in your car, a long time, imagining things, just wasting time, rather than what? Rather than just praying to the Lord. Bring some matter to the Lord, right? Okay, what is the fourth thing? Read two or three chapters of the Bible every day. That's not much. Some from the Old Testament, some from the New. You read the way you want to read. But the best thing is sequentially, right? A book at a time. Just read. Just fill your head with the Word of God. And then what else? Huh? Two or three life studies a week. You say, I hate life studies. Well, then read a book, okay? Just read something. Just read something of the interpreted word. But I strongly recommend the life studies if you have not finished them. It's just too nourishing and enlightening. And then what? Go to two or three meetings a week of the church. And then what? Come together with two or three, that's the vital group, right? And then what? Contact each other, this two or three times a week, by Skype, by GoToMeeting, by Face, at Starbucks, in meeting hall, at the job, whatever, to just fellowship with each other. Otherwise, the two or three is meaningless if there's no contact for the purpose of gospel, of shepherding, and all of that. And then what? Two or three? Huh? Yeah. Go sanctify 2 or 3 hours a week for the purpose of outreach. That doesn't mean you need to spend 2 or 3 hours knocking on doors. You may be at home calling an unsaved relative. You may be writing an email to a dear friend, Christian friend, who are very seeking. You may be sending some tracts out. You may be knocking on doors. You may be visiting your neighbor. You may be putting out a BFA table in your local flea market. You may be, hopefully, driving a BFA van around Northern California. Yeah. 2 or 3 hours, and cumulatively, if 3,000 saints, 2 or 3 hours a week, we're talking about 10,000 hours a week of gospel work going out. That's powerful. It is the long-term, regular and frequent, this kind of regular and disciplined contacting of people that will bring in the solid results. What else? Always have 2 or 3 under your care that you can name. No cheating here, that you have to be able to name. You may be sharing someone you're caring together with the 2 or 3, but you can, from your conscience, say, he is under my care. And then what? And then bear 2 or 3 remaining fruits in 10 years. Which really means bear 1 remaining fruit every 2 or 3 years. I love 2 or 3, right? Now, listen, do you not agree with me if a saint would just do this? And this is not maximum, okay? This is like, if every saint would do this, don't you think that saint would be vital? Automatically. So to be vital is not a difficult thing. Don't think, oh my goodness, I dare not call myself vital. Don't be so humble. That's false humility. You just do these things and you'll be vital. But there must always be an element of desperation there. Okay, let's finish. 3, a vital group can come into being by only a saint who is desperate and absolute for the increase of the Lord's recoveries. The stress is the increase. We must take the lead to be made vital, living and active. These are why we need to have times with the Lord. Through the absolute, clear, and thorough fellowship with the Lord continuously, through the thorough confession of sins, transgressions, failures, defects, mistakes, wrongdoings, etc., hidden or manifested before God and before men. See, through the absolute and thorough consecration of oneself with everything to the Lord. D, through the unceasing and desperate prayer. E, through the soaking of the infilling and outpouring of the Spirit. Now, don't take this as a checklist. If you're with the Lord with earnestness and desperation, these things will take place. The Spirit will work in you in this way. Okay, number 4. Then we should contact another seeking saint. That's when you get the 2 or the 3. We should contact the one who we feel we can be made vital and whom we can bring into our vital groups. Contact the meeting members who are not yet vital. We need to pray and choose someone whom we can contact. You may start a vital group with someone who is not that vital. It's good. It's great. And I said already, you can have 2 or 3 vital groups with 2 or 3. Right? None of us are stuck with just one set of 2 or 3. Again, be very organic and living in this matter. One of your vital group may be with someone you're caring for, and they become vital through your times with them. That's a vital group. They don't have to be 10-year vets, you know, in the Lord's recovery. This is very, very flexible. Okay. To fellowship with him or her concerning the above procedures. C, to make him or her vital and join us as a group, both of us continuing to contact other seeking saints and making them vital to join us and to increase our group. This is spontaneous. As you gain people, your vital group will grow. Then you say it's no longer a vital group. Of course it's still a vital group, as long as you're vital. Then you say, what about the 2 and 3? The 2 and 3s will continue in other places. It's a living, breathing thing, brothers and sisters. Brothers. Okay. 5, we need to practice fellowshipping, interceding, mutual care, and shepherding with our group members. This is a repeat of the small group from the last lesson. A, with our vital companions, we have to take care of fellowship, intercession, mutual care, and shepherding. All these things can be done in a very spontaneous way. B, first we must take care of the proper fellowship. By mutual fellowship, we can know one another's situation and consider one another. See, this kind of fellowship can spontaneously turn to intercession for one another. D, this prayer for one another will bring us into mutual care for one another. E, then the mutual care leads to shepherding, and the shepherding leads to rendering of help. You know, some brothers in the early days took this thing really as a checklist. Have we done procedure one yet? Procedure one is we have to get to know one another's situation. The checklist includes each other's birthdays, how many children, how long you've been married, how long you've been saved, how long you've been in the church life. So check, check, check. I find some groups, after months, they're still trying to get to know each other. Goodness, do you really take that long to find out somebody's birthday? It's all together, this kind of rigid procedural mentality. I tell you, after 1 minute, we got to know each other already, you know? It's a matter of degree. Then you get to know each other as you operate together, as you pray, as you do things. You don't need to, you know, section one, get to know each other for 5 months. You cannot, thou shall not contact anyone until you get to know each other and can recite each other's birthday dates. There's not such a thing. Brothers, let us get out of all of that. Let's be living. Let's be spontaneous. Right? Let's take care of the burden, okay? All right, okay. 6, fellowship is the basis for blending. We must practice the fellowship to lay the foundation of blending, and we need to be blended by much and thorough prayer with the release of the Spirit. Blending is clearly what is needed with the 2 or 3. Our prayer must come out of a burden. What the vital group should, or the 2 or 3 should have a burden to pray is this: Lord, the church needs the proper increase. Lord, we ask you, when the seasons come, to give each one of us 2 people who are remaining fruit. Amen. Otherwise, we cannot go on. Now, that's what we need to do. Amen. B, whether or not the vital group's work depends on how much prayer you offer to the Lord. Prayer is very important with the 2 or 3. Praying is the unique way for us to exercise our spirit, and even the more to release our spirit. When our spirit is released, we can be blended together in the released spirit. The released spirits are kind of blending. For the building up of the vital group, we need to pray much and thoroughly for the 4 steps of the God-ordained way. Just one word, pray. You know, just pray much. Okay. 7, the way to carry out the 4 steps of the God-ordained way is by the vital groups. The God-ordained way, revealed in the scriptures, is 4 steps, begetting, feeding, perfecting, and building. Again, this is a review. Begetting, to produce new believers. Feeding, to feed them that they may grow. Perfecting, not by one teacher, but through the mutual teaching in the groups. Building, the perfecting makes them qualified to prophesy, to speak for the Lord, for the building of the church. Our vital groups have not yet reached the standard of making everyone function according to the God-ordained way with its 4 steps. But let us not be discouraged. It's being worked out in many places. I think in Ronan Park, right? Terry, don't you have the reality of this? Hey, Tom Stubbs, do you? Don't be humble. I think so. I believe so. Even young ones who have never read any of these outlines or books, they are doing it, and that's fine enough. These are giving us the principles. The important thing is to practice them organically, spontaneously, flexibly in the way of life. And all I can say is just do it. Just do it. Each week we need to have a vital group meeting. Again, in our group meeting, we have to pray for our work of contacting people. Then we should fellowship over the situation of our contacts. That's important, so that we can study their cases, fellowship about them, and receive mutual help. Then after our study, we should pray again. You know, my wife and I, we're a vital group. We really are. Then just because we're husband and wife, we have lots of time together. And much of our time is spent, you know, we know each other's birthday already, you know, so... is spent on discussing cases. Just discussing. Tomorrow morning we wake up, we have some new consideration about the same case we talk about. I tell you, a lot of our care for people is inadequate and not effectual because we don't talk about it enough. This is not talking about people behind their backs. That's a different thing. This is to discuss cases and learn from each other, and through the fellowship, find out the better way to care for this one and that one. And the result is there. My wife and I can tell you, I can boast even, of the results of such much consideration and discussion of a case. Then we proceed. I will make the call. We will invite this person to our home. We will fellowship with them. Then she would say, we may fellowship this point, but probably not that point. I said, really? Let me think about it. Then I said, yeah, probably so. But I think we should you see, you don't know how much it takes to raise up a child. Oh, you do, right? The parents have to talk about it. They get anxious, and they're saying, this is to raise up a family. You can do it. All of you can do it. And I believe many of you are doing it already. Okay, we should not pray and study by ourselves, but should study with our group as a unit. If we pray, the Lord will lead us first to study all the acquaintances of each group member. We should make a list of people we know who need to be saved. We should pray, Lord, we are the best two or three right now for me to work on. What are the best two or three right now for me to work on? You see, Brother Lee is also a two or three person. Am I right? When we read this list prayerfully, we will have some inner registration of the two or three whom we should labor on. We need to consider all our acquaintances. We need the proper discernment in our consideration of whom we should labor on. We should spend our time to labor on those whom we consider to be promising and not to waste our time on others who are not open. Number nine, we also need to have a second weekly time with our groups for the purpose of contacting people. And again, two times, three times, whatever. Going out in the contacting people in those 2 or 3 hours with our companions, without, it depends. When we go to contact sinners, we should not go by ourselves, but as a team. We should exercise to always have 2 or 3 new ones under our care. We can use the telephone to make appointments to talk with people about Christ. We can visit them by appointment continuously. We can invite them to our dinner regularly. We can write them concerning their salvation periodically. We can mail God people gospel tracts or spiritual booklets all the time. Amen? So flexible, so multi-purposeful, and such is the way it should be. I think this is good enough. This is 12:54. I like to somewhat promote the tracts a little bit. A couple of minutes here. You know the tracts, gospel tracts, especially the BFA gospel tracts. I like you all to have these tracts all over the place, in your car, you know, the little thing in your car door, in here, the sisters in your back, in a little basket in the in next to your entry door in your house, whatever. And I like, Jim, if you can send to all these brothers the D.M. Panton article. D.M. Panton has a superb article on the power of the traps. I just don't have that kind of utterance. We'll send it to you, and you can also share that with the saints and burden the saints to be seed sowers, indiscriminate seed sowers all over Northern California. And this is the first stage. And out of that sowing of seeds, there will be responses. There will be seeking ones who will surface. And then we will go and shepherd and care for them. I believe the next module will be on shepherding. But I think we need to have a regular good sowing of these seeds to gain the increase. All right? I think this is all I want to say. Now, we still have a few minutes. What should we do? Pray or what should we do?
Can I just say a short word about the traps?
Yeah.
I'd like to give just a short testimony of the tracks. I do carry them in my car. I try to carry one in my shirt pocket. I keep running out all the time because I find people very, very readily open to them, and they appreciate it. Even some of the stern-faced people that you think for sure they're not going to take it, they do take it and they welcome it. And it opens up even a way to fellowship more about the Lord. They turn out they're believers. They're really having problems in their lives, other matters. This is really right that you have seeds to sow, and you find out... actually, it helps you to discover people really are open. They are available, and so if we have an extra supply, so I keep running out, but if we have a supply of tracts, you'll find it's easy to sow. This is an easy way to get the word out, and eventually we believe it really bears fruit.
There are many times that I said, I wish I have a tract with me. You have those situations? It is, and you know, these tracts we put out, you can even say, because through that tract, they can get a free Bible. Yeah. It's not just a tract. They can get a free stuff, you know. Everyone likes something free. So this is also a good way they can get their own Bible from BFA. So, amen? Yesterday, in our meetings, some of you were there, Jacob Ho gave a testimony of the unthinkable.
Yeah.
That is, you all know Mountain View. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. It's mostly Chinese. Yeah, it is. I've been there. And they have maybe, up to this point, one Caucasian brother amidst 90 saints or whatever the number is in Mountain View. And he told us a story within the last month. Within the last month, there is now a Caucasian Stanford professor who is coming to the meetings. And as far as I can hear, in the process of being gained for the Lord. Now, if that can happen in Mountain View, this is a Caucasian Stanford professor. I speak those three words, I enunciate them with great deliberation to impress you. It's Caucasian. It's not these plentiful Chinese professors. Those are dime a dozen. This is a Caucasian. And he's from Stanford. He's not from San Francisco State, you know. This is Stanford. You don't become a Stanford professor easily, okay? And it's a professor. It's a professor. Now he is singing along with the saints happily in their Lord's Day meeting with a whole bunch of Chinese in this little building in Mountain View. Now, if this can happen, a lot can happen. Brothers and sisters, I am looking around. I see green shoots everywhere. They're not trees, they're not plants, they're little shoots. When we went to Ronan Park, I see it. When I hear this story, I see it. When I go to Berlin game, I see it. And I am totally convinced, dear saints, we will gain the local Caucasian people by the way we're doing it.
Amen.
Mainly by the peripheral areas, many cities and towns that used to be small that are no longer small, populated still with these people, and we'll take the way like Ronan Park did it. We will gain them. There are seekers abundant everywhere. We just need to go and get them. They are waiting for us. Then you say, how about within the bay, this place? Well, when you're discouraged, think about Mountain View. When your mind says, this is impossible, give Jacob a call. Better yet, maybe you should meet the professor himself. Now, don't go there and cause a problem, okay? But brothers, I said this very, very... when the wind blows, even the turkeys fly. All right? Brothers and sisters, brothers, when the Lord moves among us, there will be works of wonders. There will things happen that you think cannot happen. Let us not restrict the Lord. Let us not hold him back with our unbelief. Let us not delay his desire to move by our looking at ourselves. Let us trust in him. Believe in him. Believe in him. And let us all go to work. I'm so thankful we have this group of brothers. I think we will see the results in the coming days. I'll stop here. We can still pray for 1 minute.
Amen.